This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah!
Well, a much-needed win tonight as this defense shines in the fourth quarter. And another, like we said this on the post game, I don't know what words we can use to properly describe what we've seen from Brook Lopez this season. That being said, it was another one of those games where Brook Lopez just continued to make huge plays for this team on both ends of the floor. Early in the fourth quarter, it was two separate and ones from Brook Lopez in the span of 40 seconds. Got to the free throw line quite a bit in that fourth and just continued to make impactful plays down the stretch as this Bucks team just keeps rolling now in those clutch situations. 27-8 on the season, 14-3 in games played at home, 13-5 on the road. But this was one of those performances tonight. Brook Lopez, Giannis, by the way, we'll get to that in a moment as well. But Brook, Giannis, Chris, you had everybody turning in those performances and making big plays down the stretch. 855-616 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Old National Bank, get old. And now, look, you can say it's very fortuitous. It's lucky. You could say that. Things have worked out in the Bucks' favor in this sense with the schedule. Tonight, you got a Toronto Raptors team that we mentioned this throughout the course of the evening. For whatever reason, they've been a matchup issue for the Bucks. There's a couple of things that go into that, but they have played the Bucks very tough. We've seen the road teams in this series have more success than home teams the last few years. You get this Raptors team when they're on night two of a back-to-back, and you had 2 days of rest. Now you get your next opponent, the San Antonio Spurs, who may have a laughable win-loss record, but they've been playing much better down the stretch here, down this last 10-game stretch, 5-5 in their last 10. Now you get the Spurs coming to town on Wednesday night when you will once again have 2 days of rest, and the Spurs will be on night two of a back-to-back. Things like this and games like this, these are important to win because of the challenges and the pitfalls that remain on this schedule. With 11 games remaining, the math is still on your side in terms of securing that number one overall seed. One way to slip up is to lose games like this tonight. So you had a disappointing loss Thursday against the Pacers. It was a big win to not fall into the same trap tonight, and more importantly, to not do so Wednesday against the San Antonio Spurs. Again, 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line if you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take a quick break here when we return. The stat line that Giannis poured in, I mentioned 14 times in NBA history now, has a player recorded a triple-double while not missing a shot in that game. We'll take a look at the other 13 times it's happened. We gave away some of the names, but where does this rank compared to some of those other triple-doubles? We'll take a look at that. Take a look at the remaining schedule as well for the 76ers and the Celtics. We continue to mention it's all going to boil down to those two games here, March 30th and April 2nd. The result of those two games is almost assuredly going to determine who gets the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. But what do the Celtics and Sixers have prior to those games? We'll take a look at that as well after this on Bucks Talk. .118-111, our final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks take down the Raptors and improve to 51-20 on the season. So 11 games remain. As you do the quick math and you take one more off after Wednesday and see, you will have just 10 games remaining after this homestand wraps. You start off those remaining 10 with a four-game road trip, and it is one of the more, I guess I'll use the word unique, road trips you will see where it starts with a back-to-back in Utah and in Denver. Then you get a day off and you head to Detroit to take on the Pistons. Then you get another day off and you begin another back-to-back in Indianapolis against the Pacers on Wednesday, March 29th, returning home for one of those big games we had mentioned and already circled on the calendar, March 30th, at home against the Boston Celtics. So after that Celtics game, you're going to have just five games remaining. One of those five is against the 76ers. Your final game of the season, fittingly, is against this Toronto Raptors team on the road. I think the hope is you will already have the one seed cinched up by that point and that you can treat that game much as you did the game last year in Cleveland, where you wrapped up the season essentially playing no one. Jrue Holiday started the game, played 8 seconds, committed a foul, and checked out. But you would hope you can be in that same spot because that Raptors team, we've talked about 7 through 10 and how that continues to be very, very fluid. That could be a game that the Raptors need to win to stay in the play-in tournament, or more importantly, see if they can move into that 8 line and avoid the 9-10 matchup where you only have one chance to get in. You give yourself two chances if you're in that 7-8 matchup. You lose that game and you're still alive with a crack at the 8 seed. If you get down to 9-10, you only have a chance at the 8 seed and your first loss eliminates you. So it's very likely, long story short, final game of the season between these two teams is going to have a lot more importance for the Raptors than it will the Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight. Let's head out to those phone lines and talk with Ricky in Honey Creek. You lead things off.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say it's another win here for the Bucks, which I'm always thankful for. And I just want to say that the Bucks, you know, with their 12 turnovers, I mean, 12 turnovers is 12 turnovers too many. So that's a thing that the Bucks can work on. And Giannis was recording a triple-double tonight, so that was nice. But the thing that the Bucks have been doing a whole lot is needing Giannis to score a lot of points, and everybody else chips in a few here and there. And then it puts a lot of pressure on Giannis. Tonight, though, Giannis getting some scoring help by Middleton and Lopez. So, yeah, that's really nice on that. And, you know, I looked at it, and the Bucks' free throw percentage and three-point shooting percentage is not very good. So they need to work on that as well. Giannis continuing to struggle at the free throw line. So he needs to get more practice on that. And so when it comes to the playoff time, he's not struggling as much. Now, for the Bucks' next game against San Antonio, the Spurs, they're not going to make the play-in tournament. But that doesn't mean that the Bucks can be so lackadaisical. They need to still continue to win games because the Celtics and 76ers are breathing down on them as we're getting down to the final wire here for the season. So the Bucks need to win that one and hopefully win another NBA Finals.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Ricky. And the last point that he made, too, is why we said games like tonight are important because you do have some difficult games left. I just mentioned the road trip that's in front of you. In Denver is going to be tough. In Utah is always tough. It is historically tough for the Bucks. Although maybe something as simple as Joe Ingles now playing for the Bucks swings things there. Because if you remember, maybe the most infamous loss the Bucks had in Utah came on a Chris Middleton turnover, and then moments later, Joe Ingles hit a buzzer beater in the corner. So maybe getting Joe Ingles on your side will change some of your fortunes in Utah. But in Utah is going to be tough. In Denver is going to be tough. That's a team that they are in a similar spot. They got to keep winning because of what the Kings and the Grizzlies are doing. And then, of course, those two matchups yet with the Sixers and the Celtics. There are some tough games that are left for the Bucks. The math is still on your side, but that's provided you win games like tonight against the Raptors, like Wednesday against the Spurs, and some of those that you have sprinkled and scattered throughout the schedule Those are big wins to make sure you can keep that pace or keep that distance between yourself and the 76ers and the Boston Celtics. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Yemerej. You're up next.
Justin, how you doing?
Great.
For the playoffs, how do you see the Bucks lineup working out? I mean, they got 10 guys who can play really well together. You obviously don't want to mess with the chemistry. So what do you think? I'll hang up and let you talk. Holla at your boy.
Well, thanks for the call. It's interesting because we were just talking about this earlier tonight that I think what you saw tonight was nice. You need to see a little more of it from Pat Connaughton offensively because he's been going through his struggles. And the thing we were discussing was, you know, if you hadn't made the acquisitions of Joe Ingles and Jay Crowder and even a guy potentially we've yet to see him, but a Goran Dragic, if you hadn't made those acquisitions and added them to the fold here, I wouldn't say you'd be in trouble, but all of a sudden this rotation and this team looks a little different where it's very top-heavy if this current version of Pat Connaughton is who you're going to get in the playoffs. That, to me, is one of the bigger X factors is do we see the Pat Connaughton from 2 years ago that made big plays, hit big shots, and was very, very consistent and reliable in that postseason run, or do we see more of the guy this year that's taken some time to return from injury? The shot hasn't really fallen at the clip that it has the last few years. So I'm very curious to see which version of Pat Connaughton we see and what that means for his minutes. Because to your point, you know, everything is pretty well locked in where we know once you get to the postseason, we're going to consistently see around 38 minutes from Jrue Holiday. It's going to be the same from Giannis. I would imagine Chris was, 30-plus minutes again tonight. I would imagine he's going to be at around 35 or so minutes. With Brook Lopez, not only do you not have much behind him, and again, Jay Crowder fills a lot of the void and checks a lot of the boxes that P.J. Tucker did. He does not check the box of being a guy that can play the five and frees Giannis up there. So you're still going to have those moments where you're not going to have a rim protector on the floor other than Giannis. But those are going to be limited. Brook is still going to be a high-minutes guy. That's going to fill out most of your rotation. It's just a matter of matchups. And depending on the team that you're playing, what that means to me, to Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton. Because I think we've seen enough of Jay Crowder to know how he fits with this group and what he gives you in the postseason. I think we've seen enough from Joe Ingles to know that as well. And really, how much Joe Ingles has helped juice this half-court offense, specifically his connection with Brook Lopez. So he's going to find some pretty consistent minutes. It's just going to be tough conversations and tough rotations to crack for guys like a Pat Connaughton and Grayson Allen, which, again, is going to depend on the matchup and the team that they're facing. But it's ultimately going to boil down to how they're shooting the basketball as well, because that's what stood out the most about Grayson in the Celtics series, as we've said a number of times. He was really miscast because of the injuries that this team had. Because of no Chris Middleton, he needed to do more. That was unfair to Grayson to hold him to that standard. But if those shots are not going to fall, you have other options now. We didn't even mention Wesley Matthews. That is kind of the perfect for some teams, tough to play for extended minutes against others. So the Bucks have just changed the roster to give themselves more options and different ways to play. And that wasn't the case last year. The good news is you can throw yourself out there and feel like we have lineups to match up with just about every team you would potentially face in the postseason. The bad news is it's going to mean no or very, very limited minutes for a handful of guys, at least a few, that were big contributors throughout the course of the regular season. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we come back, we'll take a look at that triple-double number. 14 times in NBA history, a player has recorded a triple-double without missing a field goal in the game. Giannis was number 14. The other names to do it, and who had the best of those games? We'll take a look at those numbers after this on Bucks Talk.
And there's another one that goes down for Chris. So Cash Money Middleton coming up with now 3 three-pointers on his 4 tries tonight. Another Michelob Ultra 3.
Finished the game with 5 made threes. Did Chris Middleton. Look, he's been very polarizing, I think, by some in the Bucks fan community. I'm sure I will have a decent amount that may disagree with this. I thought Chris was very good tonight, and especially on the defensive end. And I've seen already some of the, man, Chris looks slow. He doesn't look as good defensively. I thought tonight was important because this Raptors team, while you may not face them, and you might face the Toronto Raptors in the first round of the playoffs, I don't mean this specific matchup, but a team like this, the personnel that the Raptors have, these are guys on the wing, on the perimeter, that are very, very comparable to the types of players and opponents you are going to be matched up against in the postseason. You think about a team like the Boston Celtics and the wings that they would throw at you. 76ers don't have as much, but they still have some of those bodies. This Raptors team, guys like a Gary Trent, like a Pascal Siakam, Scottie Barnes, OG Anunoby, like these are the types of guys, two-way players, you have to contend with in the playoffs, especially Chris Middleton at the position that he plays. And so matchups like this are kind of big with 10 games, 11 now left in the season, just to see where you're at. We had that 30-plus, 31-point game that Chris had against the Sacramento Kings, and that was another one where if you just watch the first half of that game, there was a lot of frustration and a lot of, I don't know how far the Bucks can go if Chris Middleton isn't Chris Middleton. And then in the second half, Chris Middleton erupted. Those moments have been there in his return. You're just striving for that more consistently. It's similar to what we said about Pat Connaughton and his return. He had that little brief stretch where it took a little bit of time for Pat to come back. Then he had a stretch where he shot the ball very, very well. And then it cooled off a little bit. You hope a night like tonight for Pat Connaughton is a sign that that's starting to turn around. And I thought, look, it was big, too. The first basket that Pat Connaughton scored in this game, he attacked the basket. The shot didn't fall on a corner three, so he went to the basket, scored. On the next three he took, it went through. For Chris Middleton, it started from the outside, which was big because that's the one area that we've still been waiting on for Chris Middleton in this return, is that outside shot. I think why you haven't noticed it quite as much is because there's more shooting on this team now. You have a guy like Joe Ingles, whose shot has been there consistently now. Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, who, by the way, continues to look very, very good now in this role where you're not asking too much of Bobby. He just needs to be the offense and the garbage man that does the dirty work off the bench. But you have more shooting around Chris Middleton. Again, the title run 2 years ago was great. That team was able to play different styles of basketball. That team wasn't very deep. And almost all of the offense came from that trio of Giannis and Chris and Drew. You had some big performances from Brooke in the conference finals and in the NBA finals. But it wasn't a whole lot outside of that. That team, for all intents and purposes, was 7 players deep. It's not the case with this year's team. So you still need Chris Middleton to be a consistent three-point shooter to open up some of those looks, but you're not singly reliant on it for Chris Middleton. You got other guys that can fill that void. And one of them, by the way, is Javon Carter, that I thought was interesting. We saw Javon, for all intents and purposes, closing this game. He was playing down the stretch, a late sub with about a minute left, but Javon Carter was on the floor in those minutes. He gave you a big spark, and one of the things to keep an eye on with Javon and see how does this develop in the postseason is we saw a couple of instances in the Pacers game. One of the few positives to take away from that game was Javon Carter pulling up in transition, but pulling up with a hesitation. Because I think the scout is out there, and teams know Javon Carter, he's been very good at it this season, but you got to stay up on him. You got to get in his face because he likes that pull-up three in transition. A couple of times against the Pacers, started to pull up, and you could see TJ McConnell on both instances rushing up there, knowing he's going to shoot here, and Javon Carter, kept going, if he can start to add that to his arsenal, and no, you can't just press up on him. He will blow past you and get to the basket. He's not just taking the pull-up in transition. That's going to be big for the minutes that Javon Carter potentially gets in the postseason as well. But going back to the previous question, you know, stuff like that, too. We didn't mention Goran Dragic. How much minutes, if any, does Goran Dragic take from a guy like Javon Carter? How do you utilize some of those lineups? When we talk about this team's performance in clutch situations, I mentioned this to Dave during the game, but I think what stands out the most is the Bucks haven't necessarily excelled in any singular area other than winning the game in those clutch games. 27 and 8 now on the season in those games that are 5 points or less in the final 5 minutes or less. The defense hasn't been elite. It's been top 10. Offense hasn't been great. It's been right around where their season average has been. Even when you do home road splits, they're just as good basically at home as they are on the road. When you split that out, they're not elite at home in offense or defense, and same for the road. On the road, they have a negative net rating despite being 13-5 in clutch games. So the one thing you take away from that, sure, part of it is luck, and you would point to that and say, well, you're due for regression. But the other thing is just teams that have been through these spots, through these moments in games like that, that have won those games before and know what you have to do. Those winning plays, as cliche as it is, know those winning plays that you have to make, those situations, what it calls for. All the metrics in the clutch situations just point to that this team knows how to win those games. And specifically, this group of guys, when you think about the way this roster was constructed, Giannis and Pat and Bobby and Chris and Drew and Brooke, that entire group has been together for at least 3 seasons and 3 postseason runs. 2 postseason runs. Giannis and Chris and Drew, obviously, Giannis and Chris, obviously, longer than that, and Brooke as well. But this group, its core, has been through all of these spots together. Not just you have a mixture of guys that have been in big moments with various teams. This group has done it as a group, and I think that's what you're seeing with some of those performances in the clutch. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line. So I mentioned 14 times in NBA history, a player has recorded a triple-double while not missing a shot in that game. So, Tommy, I don't know. I would assume no. If you were listening to the broadcast when we gave the names.
I was listening.
So you know the names of the players that have done it?
I know some of the names, and I forgot some of them because they were weird names.
What?
But please, read the names.
So Giannis is, I believe, the 10th player in NBA history to do this now. The most recent most recently this occurred January 9th of this year when Nikola Jokic against the Lakers had a triple-double while scoring 14 points, 11 rebounds, 16 assists, a steal, and a block. He was 5 of 5 from the floor. So if we look at all of these games, only 3 players have done this while attempting more field goals than Giannis did tonight. He went 9 of 9 from the floor. The 3 players, or 3 instances, I should say, 2 players, those 2 players, Wilt Chamberlain and Nikola Jokic, who also did it against the Phoenix Suns 5 years ago. So Nikola Jokic has been a regular here. So is Wilt Chamberlain. Draymond Green also went 9 of 9 from the floor when he did his. But that's it. Everybody else, we're talking very, very low. Robert Williams was on the list, the Boston Celtics big man. He was 5 of 5 when he recorded his triple-double with a perfect shooting performance. That was on New Year's Eve 2 years ago. You also had 5 of 5 Evan Turner. Some of these names, you have guys that, you know, okay, this makes sense. Nikola Jokic to be in there. Wilt Chamberlain to be on there. Sure, that one makes sense. Russell Westbrook, you know what? If it's early enough, I suppose that one makes sense. And that came in 2017 for Russell Westbrook. So some of these, yeah, That makes sense. That was the MVP year, the 16-17 year for Russell Westbrook. Draymond Green, yeah, I suppose that somewhat makes sense as well. Then you get Bo Outlaw, who in 2000, March 28th, against the Boston Celtics, went 4 of 4 from the floor, 14 rebounds, 10 assists, 10 points for Bo Outlaw. Wes Unseld, a Hall of Famer, that one makes sense. Evan Turner, we already mentioned that name. Robert Williams, we mentioned that name. T.J. McConnell.
Was that against the Bucks?
It was not against the Bucks. It was against the Cavaliers. And a matter of fact, the Bucks are not the opponent for any of these.
Didn't he have a crazy game against the Bucks where he didn't miss a shot?
He started very hot against the Bucks, and that was in January of this year.
Okay.
But the second half is when he cooled off.
Cool, okay.
The Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Lakers are the two teams that have been victimized by this the most. So it's happened 14 times in league history. It has happened 3 times to the Lakers, 3 times to the Phoenix Suns. So basically half of these instances have occurred against those two teams specifically. What was most, not even strange, but just we've mentioned the word quiet with some of these Giannis games. Like, Giannis with a quiet 30 points. Giannis with a quiet 40, if that's possible. This really was a quiet triple-double, and especially the 9 of 9. You know, at one point, you looked at the scoreboard after a Giannis drive and thought, I don't know if he's missed yet in this game. And you see, oh, sure enough, 6 of 6. And when you looked at that number, you thought, well, if Giannis is yet to miss, and Giannis is scoring with ease, it seems like. Giannis needs to be shooting more. But this, again, just kind of speaks to everything we mentioned about this team finding different ways to play and to win and working on things. Giannis has been very open about working on the pull-up jumper, the mid-range jumper, all of that that he's working on to add to the bag for the playoffs. Tonight, I think, was another example of that. Because 9 of 9... Giannis could have very easily gone for 35 or 40 points, it seemed like, in this game. If he would have said, I'm the one that's going to be scoring, the Raptors have nobody to slow me down, he could have put up some big stat lines or some big numbers in terms of individual scoring. He didn't need to, and that's what's really stood out the most. It's part of that MVP discussion that we had, about a week ago, Tommy, where we said, Let's just prepare ourselves for the reality. Joel Embiid is going to win the MVP. You can make a strong case. Giannis' season is better. Giannis' team is better, whatever. Giannis doesn't care. Giannis wants to win an NBA championship. And if you read the story in The Athletic that Sam Amick, the interview he did with him, he details what that feeling was and why he wants to win a championship. But I think, you know, when people hear that of, well, I care more about championships, it's easy to kind of dismiss that. But games like tonight really back up Giannis saying that. He could have scored more. He could have taken over. He could have had a huge game. Triple-double is still a big game, but he didn't. He let the game come to him. I think part of it was, look, I'm going to set up my teammates. We're going to work on some looks. We're going to see how this works. And the guys that he was going to, Pat Connaughton, continuing to feed him, the trust that he still has in him, it's just showing off how polished his game is, and that's one of those differences. He is not out there stat hunting, chasing stats, trying to build up some of those numbers, trying to catch Joel Embiid in the points scored. I mean, tonight, probably a negative in the quest for an MVP because he just scored 22 points. It's going to hurt the points per game average. But when he says, look, I just care about championships, I'm not focused on the MVP, I'm not listening to it, you look at how he played tonight, and it's very easy to believe. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we come back, we'll take a look at those schedules for the Celtics and the 76ers, what they have left between now and March 30th and April 2nd, those two big games here in Milwaukee. It gets much more difficult for one of those two teams. We'll take a look at it after this on Bucks Talk.
Inbound pass from Middleton to Lopez. Lopez right of the lane. Puts it on the floor. Drives around Siakam and flushes it through with a reverse jam. Oh, Brook Lopez. The fourth quarter is yours tonight. He has scored all 7.
Now, Brook Lopez, again, I think we're all still searching for how do you properly describe this? The resurgence, rejuvenation, the fountain of youth, whatever it is. We're getting closer and closer to definitively stating this is the best season of Brook Lopez's career. I know he had a year where he was an all-star, maybe two where he was an all-star, but at least one where he was an all-star with the Brooklyn Nets, was a 20-point-per-game scorer earlier in his career. But on both ends of the floor, what he has done for this team and just his importance to the team that has the best record in basketball, this has been the best season of his career, especially when you consider this comes a year removed from back surgery. For a 7-footer in his mid-30s, even more impressive what Brook Lopez has done this season. Let's head back to the phone lines and catch up with Will I Am. What's going on, Will?
Hey, Justin. Hey, guys. Another really nice night to see the Bucks pull off a big W at home. You know, whenever the Raptors come to town, it always seems like they have our phone number, they have our jersey. But to know going into the fourth quarter, to see Brook Lopez that healthy, that active, and even to see him going for rebounds and then taking the offensive load off everyone else, I am so happy to see that he is, like you said, playing his best ball he has played ever. And then to highlight off that, his ability in the fourth quarter to just, you know, go to the post, usually what Giannis does, and to get the continuations tonight really showed why we need him for every game. And then my question to you is, I know that he didn't really play in the last game, but do you think Brook Lopez should have played the whole game? Because I think he should have, and I think we could have won by at least 20 points knowing that his presence was there.
Well, thanks for the call, Will. He has been incredible. I think you're still going to be very, very cautious with Brook. And look, there are going to be matchups where it's not. We had the same talk last year. It's the term unplayable gets used way too often inaccurately. I think people started to label that or assign that to Brook Lopez at times in both of the last two playoff runs. He's not unplayable against certain teams. The matchup's a little more difficult, and you have to really monitor how you use his minutes and who he's on the floor with. But there are going to be those types of games, or there's those types of series as well. I mean, think back to the first half of that Suns series, the mid part of that Nets series as well. And you saw the same thing with Bobby Portis. The deeper that series went, some things they exploited, it was tougher to keep him on the floor. You're going to have that, but for Brook, it simply means going from 30, low 30s minutes to 27, 26, 25 minutes. And especially if it's a perimeter-based team, that's when you say, okay, now, Giannis, you're playing the five. We're going to put Bobby out there. We're going to put Jay Crowder out there. But you're picking up the five, and we're playing more five out. And I think that's a part of it, too, with Brook. Look, I'm frankly surprised you've gotten what you have from Brook Lopez. In terms of the minutes played, the consistency, he has been an Iron Man a year removed from back surgery, which is just absolutely astounding. And he continues, more importantly for Brook, continues to just raise his value in an offseason where you got big decisions to make on Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton as well, both guys that can become free agents. In the case of Chris Middleton, decline their player option and test the free agent market. And for Brook Lopez, he has saved his best for last. He is playing his best basketball at the right time as he is about to become a free agent, I guess you would say. Although, look, he has been very vocal about his love for this team, how he has kind of found the right spot for him under Bud with some of the teammates he has here. And I think it's very easy to see how the team, and specifically guys like Giannis, feel about Brook Lopez as well when you go to Bucks.com and look at some of the interviews from Thursday night after that game against the Pacers, how Giannis talked about him, how Bud talked about the defense. Some of the questions Bud was asked prior to the game tonight about, look, your defense struggled. Every single question was, well, how much does it change when Brook Lopez is out there? So he is certainly, certainly valued by this team and the best players on this team as well. So Brook Lopez, just saving his best for last. This is, or has been, the best season we have seen Brook Lopez put together at the NBA level. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Take one more break. When we return, we'll take a look at those schedules for the Celtics and the 76ers and get you updated on the mathematical probability, the chances, the percent chance at the Bucks securing the one seed. We'll give you the very latest after this on Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now, daddy, cause I'm on my way. I can feel my ring coming. It's the blood of a champion.
7-point win here inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks take care of the Raptors. They bounce back from Thursday's loss to the Pacers. And they get ready for Wednesday's game against the Spurs. Again, 2 days of rest and facing an opponent that is on one of the beloved Sekababas, the second night of a back-to-back. That's what the Bucks will be in for on Wednesday against a frankly bad San Antonio Spurs team. But again, it is a Spurs team, second worst record in the Western Conference. They've gone 5-5 in their last 10 games. And you may say, well, 10 games. Not a big sample size to be going off of for, hey, this team is playing much better. No, I would concede it is not. But when you have 19 wins on the season, and five of them have come in the last 14 days, that's a pretty big sample size to say this team is playing much better lately. And look, Spurs also know at this point, they're not going to finish any lower than, in all likelihood, fourth in all of the NBA. They're three games back of the, or three games in front of, I should say, the Detroit Pistons. You know the bottom four are going to be the Pistons, Rockets, Spurs, and the Charlotte Hornets. And the way the lottery has been restructured, if you're in those bottom four, you got a pretty close to an even chance. So they're at the point of, hey, we did what we set out to accomplish. Now, let's start to build some good habits. See if we can play better, win some games, see if we have anything in some of these young guys like Keldon Johnson. And that's what we've seen for the last few weeks from the San Antonio Spurs. So on paper, this is, hey, this is going to be a laugh, or it should be a dominant win. It may not be quite that easy. They beat the Nuggets. They beat the Hawks tonight. They've beaten some good teams of late. So it could be an interesting matchup on Wednesday night when these two teams face here in Milwaukee. But again, 2 days off for the Bucks, and it's night two of a back-to-back for the Spurs. Tommy, I'm going to go to playoffstatus.com, the website that at this point we need some type of partnership with for all, how often we drive traffic to that site and to use them as a reference. So if anyone from Playoff Status is listening, so are we. But as of right now, and this includes the results from tonight, your guess for the Bucks' chance, percentage-wise, of sealing the one seed in the East?
It's got to be like 88%.
I was going to say, you are a notoriously bad guesser.
I didn't say that.
I did. It's a 79% chance, which still, look, pretty good for 3 weeks left in the season to say basically 80% chance. 4 out of 5 times we simulate the season, you get the one seed. That's basically where we're at. The interesting parts here, right now the 76ers are technically your 2 seed. And I suppose we'll save this. Assuming the Bucks win on Wednesday, one of the things I do want to get into and spend a little bit more time on is, at this point, who scares you more in the Eastern Conference between the Celtics and the 76ers? But nonetheless, right now, Sixers are technically the 2 seed at 48-22 by way of win percentage. Celtics are 49-23, so Boston has 10 games left. Philly has 14 games left. 12 games left, I beg your pardon. Boston has 10, you have 11, Philly has 12. You may look at it and say, well, the Sixers are on a roll right now. They've won 8 in a row. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They look to be like a team that's gelling. The Boston Celtics look to be the opposite of that. That bad, frankly, loss to the Houston Rockets earlier in the week. A game in Minneapolis against the Timberwolves just the other night. Celtics probably should have lost. They lost last night in Utah, a place the Bucks will have to go to in less than a week. And they wrap up this six-game road trip, which they have currently gone 3-2 on, in Sacramento on Tuesday. We saw the Bucks struggle there before overcoming the Kings late. We've seen a lot of teams, frankly, struggle there. So, look, there's a chance. We're talking about a 49-24 Boston Celtics team, which would put the Bucks, when you look at the standings, three games in front of them at that point. And four games, if they lose to the Celtics, or lose to the Kings, four games in the loss column. But we point this out because after that, Celtics have the Indiana Pacers at home, the Spurs at home. Then they go to the Wizards. Very, very different games opposed to the Kings, the Jazz on the road. And then that big matchup with the Bucks. Then after that, March 31st, a back-to-back for the Celtics, host the Utah Jazz. Then another big one on the road against the 76ers. And right now, you talk about, what, a four-day span. March 30th, Celtics in Milwaukee against the Bucks. April 2nd, Sixers in Milwaukee against the Bucks. April 4th, Celtics in Philadelphia against the 76ers. Those are the three games that are going to determine 1-3 in the Eastern Conference. And they're going to occur within 4 or 5 days of each other. They close out the season with two against the Raptors at home and the Hawks at home. So the Celtics have an easier path than the 76ers. And that's why when you look at all these sites, the 538 playoff status that we continue to mention, Bucks still have the best chance to win the Eastern Conference. But despite how well the 76ers have been playing, despite the fact that right now the 76ers are in second place, we're still giving the Celtics the nod here in all of the probabilities and scenarios because of that schedule and the fact that Philly still has at Golden State, at Phoenix, at Denver, the Dallas Mavericks, these Raptors, here in Milwaukee, the Celtics, the Miami Heat. It's a very, very difficult draw for the 76ers to close out the season, but they've continued to win games. Winning games, what the Bucks did tonight as well, beating the Raptors and pushing that margin to 2.5 in the Eastern Conference. Wednesday night, our next game, Bucks and the Spurs at 7, and be sure to stick around for Bucks Talk afterwards. Talk to you Wednesday night with more Bucks Talk.